WOOC talked to the Underground Railroad History Project co-founder, Paul Stewart. He told us about his, or I should say, their upcoming fundraiser.
Paul is a community hero who, for the past two decades,
make me blush on the radio,
has been the leader of the Underground Railroad History Project, which is just so critical to our region. I'm wondering if you could just give us a little overview of the Underground Railroad History Project before we find out why you're really here.
Yeah. Well, one of the, I think it's good to start off by explaining that the project itself was originally a study project that my wife and I, Mary Liz, my wife and I, decided to do together to learn more about the story of the Underground Railroad. And as we began to look at it, we found people would tell us, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. And one of the things that happened for us is that very frequently what people said, oh, it's this, oh, it's that, and we find things that contradicted what they were saying. So we kind of got into it as a more of a long-term thing for her so that she could take more back into the classroom as a teacher and myself, because I was doing a lot of community, community work. Working, both in my employment, but also on the side, working for community newspapers and things like that. So I wanted to write stories about these things that happened in the Tri-Cities area. And so as we made it a long-term project, we suddenly began to discover things that we weren't hearing from other people. And so that's kind of like how it was born. So the Underground Railroad History Project is a nonprofit organization. It's organized as a historical society. It's got a board of directors. We try to rediscover the story of the Underground Railroad as it relates to the Capital Region and tell that story. And we've also found lots of different ways of making that story more real or more tangible for us in the present day.
That's wonderful. And just what are some of the key projects at the Underground Railroad? Just to give us a little overview of some of the key projects and the vision of the Underground Railroad.
In terms of talking about how we made it tangible in the present day, I mean, we do things like we have a young abolitionist club of teens that meet throughout the year. We have what we call the Young Abolitionist Teen Scholars Institute, which is a space during the summertime when we utilize the summer youth employment program, and we have opportunities for young people to sit down and make some plans, to work with some facilitators, to make some plans about what they want to accomplish during that space. And they actually come and they get paid to, do those projects. We're also involved in a restoration of an Underground Railroad site we call the Stephen and Harriet Myers Residence, which is in Albany. We also have a garden, which we call the Abram Johnson Garden, named after one of the Underground Railroad figures from that period. All of these, our annual conference, we do a lot of workshops and talks throughout the year. So all of these are ways in which we kind of bring the story to the community. But also it's linked with some research, because we also do research around the stories and links with things that are tied into our community. Also, we do archaeology, which we've had some really wonderful experiences with archaeology. We had a great group from the State University that came down this past summer, did a really what was for us a major archaeological dig in the backyard. They discovered, the water cistern, a lot of pieces that were unbroken in the bottom of the water cistern, pottery and plates and things. So amazing stuff that helps us fill out the story in terms of talking about, well, what was the daily life of the folks that were here in the Capital Region and living in that period. So those are some of the things that we do project-wise.
And I'm sure that being sustainable as a nonprofit is a big challenge, and that leads us into Dining with Stevie.
Sure.
And I'm wondering if you could tell us about your program, Dining with Stevie.
Yeah, one of the things that I think is a challenge for all nonprofit organizations, of course, is this idea of sustainability, being able to have the funds to keep the lights on and you know, do all the programming that you do, et cetera. And so one of the things that we've been doing is this thing we call Dining with Stevie. One of our board members helped put this together, and we've selected a bunch of different restaurants. So we've had it at TCBY, yogurt at Five Guys, at Panera. And as a matter of fact, this one coming up on January 9th is going to be at Panera. At Panera at Crossgates Commons. So that's at 161 Washington Avenue Extension. You know, most people will recognize that as Crossgates Commons. And so it's a Tuesday, January 9th from 4 to 8 p.m. And what happens is that people can they go to our website, undergroundrailroadhistory.org, look on the calendar, they'll see a flyer that has the Dining with Stevie and the Panera Bread and everything. What they would do is they would take that flyer, they can even take it like on their phone or, you know, and show that when they go in to place their order or and when they go to pay for their food. And then the Underground Railroad History Project will get some money back from them just going and eating. And that's the really cool thing. They don't have to do anything complex or anything. They just have to go out and eat.
Well, all we have to do is eat to support the Underground Railroad History Project.
Yeah, isn't that great?
That's fantastic. Just before we let you go, I feel like I want to invite you to come back again because it's almost impossible to tell the incredible stories. There's so many you have brought to life. I'm just wondering, how do you tell a story? What are a few of the stories that you have unearthed and that you have shared?
Well, there are lots of individual stories, and we have the good fortune for a lot of this stuff kind of comes together and in interesting ways. There was a flyer that was a key document in helping us get the Stephen and Harriet Myers residence on the National Register of Historic Places. That document talks about a 10-month period during which there are 200 and some people who were referred to Albany and came through the Albany-Schenectady-Troy connection with the Underground Railroad here. And the there was a book that came out not too long ago from Eric Foner, who was a professor at Columbia University, and he looked at that document. He looked at another document that was out of New York City that was about some 250 people across a different period of time, but it was overlapping. And we found that the 50 of the people that were identified in the document that he was using overlapped into the period that was relevant for the Stephen and Harriet Myers residence. So we actually, because of that, we know the names and the approximate dates that 50 people who were referred to the Capital Region from New York City. And that's something that's really, really just knocking it out of the park. You know, it's a lot of times you'll hear about these different folks and people talk about an Underground Railroad site and sort of like it's all vague and you don't know who was there and, you know, these people, you know. And so here's a space where we can put names and dates on when these folks were there and to a certain degree trace their stories, which is much more than can be done in a lot of Underground Railroad stories that people talk about.
That's really amazing. Yeah, and the young abolitionists today, as they walk through the Stephen Myers Museum, can be standing in the footsteps, and that brings the living history
and that's
these stories.
Really exciting. You know, the front parlor and this flyer that I talked about, the flyer talks about an abolitionist meeting, an Underground Railroad meeting. And, you know, when you put two and two together, you know, that meeting would have taken place in the front parlor of what's called the Stephen and Harriet Myers Residence Building. So it's kind of a cool space in the sense of being in a place where some decisions were made and where some folks no doubt were interviewed to find out what their needs were in connection with the Underground Railroad, that both, you know, both wrapping in both the secret and the public side of the story. And that's another thing. You know, we always talk about the secrecy of the Underground Railroad, but then you've got, everybody knows that, this is like the elephant in the room. Everybody knows that Frederick Douglass published the newspaper. It was called Frederick Douglass's Paper. And there were reports in the paper about all the meetings and things that people were doing and the others. So, and it's not only just his newspaper. There were many, many other newspapers, you know, in this, both in this region across the state, and they all told a lot about a lot of this kind of stuff. So there was much more openness than I think we like to think about the secrecy. We like to think things are kind of being kept from us, but
well, and that really leads into the challenge of how we can go beyond just telling these stories and actually pull out lessons for
sure,
the
lessons for us in the day. Yeah, right? Absolutely. You know, the Underground Railroad story is not just the narrow story of people escaping from enslavement and making their way to here or Canada or wherever, but it's a broader story. It's an international story, not only in developing Canada, but also there are many other aspects of the story that when you really look at it hard, you know, the Seminole Wars, the secession of Texas, many other things that are really tied into the Underground Railroad story that we typically don't teach that way, you know. And of course, you know, the roots of slavery linking into, you know, Jim Crow and then mass incarceration. Again, these are elements of the story that we usually don't teach in that way, but they're there, and that's how we like to unfold the story. So that people can kind of see the connectedness. And then there are things like I was mentioning a while back, this when Elizabeth Warren was bringing up some issues with Senator Sessions when he was being identified as a person to be the head of the Justice Department. And she was prevented from speaking because of this rule that actually had its roots in the 1830s when senators were criticizing each other over the issues of enslavement. And so they came up with this rule that senators couldn't criticize each other. So, I mean, that's just one of the many little pieces that, you know, tie past and present together.
Thank you so much for keeping the struggle against injustice alive through this living history. And again, let's just remind people about Dining with Stevie.
Yeah, Dining with Stevie on the 9th of January and from 4 to 8 p.m. And you can get the coupon is on our website, undergroundrailroadhistory.org, or on our Facebook page, Underground Railroad History Project. And they, you know, get that coupon and show that coupon when you order your food and when you pay for your food, and Underground Railroad History Project will get a share of that.